It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 425, the latest and greatest in data breach and in overreach. And my name is Joey. That's Len, buddy. What's going on? Happy Thursday night. We got Happy snow in the Thursday. Forecast for next week. Did you see that?
Yeah, I know. I have to do something. I have to bury my fig tree before it freezes. So I got to bust my hump this weekend to get that done. You know what? It's been a late fall, too. I was collecting figs until 2 weeks ago. That's very unlike Canada. So, yeah. Whatever. Get your winter tires on. I'm getting mine tomorrow.
I'm supposed to get mine on Tuesday, so I got to make sure that I'm on schedule for that. I'm unsure if fig collecting is like a figure of speech. Like, are you murdering people? Like, what are you doing?
No, legit, man. I got a fig tree that, yeah.
It's, I thought it was like a mafia.
No. I have a lemon tree. I had an orange tree until recently. I like to have these odd trees that don't tend to grow here.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. So when you want figs, when you want fresh figs, you know where to reach.
I'll keep you posted. Yeah,
they're good fresh.
Last week's quote for people who are still listening. One does not waste time who studies how others have wasted theirs. That was by August Boucher Leclerc. No one got it. I wouldn't have got that either. This week's quote. A bonus for anyone who gets this one. Politics is the gentle art of getting votes from the poor and campaign funds from the rich by promising to protect each from the other. If you know who that was by, put it in the comments. Don't forget, you can only look in the annexes of the Canadian 2025-2026 budget. No looking anywhere else, no Googling. And if you know the answer, put it in the comments. You get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Microsoft heavy tonight, as we were saying before the show.
3-5.
Yeah. What is Satya Nadella doing besides going on the Brad Gerstner podcast? Definitely not running his company. Where do you want to start?
Well, how's the stock doing? I'd love to know.
I haven't looked, actually. I am a Microsoft investor, so I should know how the stock is doing.
Things are going very well these days.
Down 2% during the day, up a little bit. Excuse me, after hours. So there you go.
Yeah, they're lighting things on fire. They should light Teams on fire. You're a Teams user. I'm a Teams user.
Like, yeah.
A lot of people are Teams users. It's a very popular product that it comes from Microsoft. And yeah, well, there's some problems out there that were discovered. And it was essentially this master key that could let anybody out there completely mess around with your workplace conversation and pretend to be someone they are not. So they could potentially, a hacker out there could potentially act like anybody in your company, like your boss or high level executive or whatever. And what they could do, like on the fly, they could change the names on the calls or in private chats. And that, you know, could lead to, if you think you're dealing with somebody that may be your boss, you could share sensitive information with them. And it's ultimately it's the wrong person getting that. And, you know, they could get all kinds of information. They could even go back in time and edit the chat, and they could do that without having the edited tag showing up.
Yeah.
So really nasty stuff. And so the good news is that this has been, well, this was discovered by the research firm Checkpoint, and they were the ones that found this issues, and they were ones that helped Microsoft develop the patches to fix these vulnerabilities. These patches were automatically rolled out. So any Teams user out there doesn't really have to do anything. The system itself will apply those patches. So just keep aware that if you are dealing with somebody and it may not appear to be who they are on Teams, maybe the patch hasn't yet applied and you may be dealing with a hacker out there. And if they're trying to get information like passwords, sensitive documents, be careful. Don't share it.
Pretty weird that we're still relying on display names to tell us who's on the other end of a chat. Don't you think? Isn't that a bit strange that we're still doing that in 2025?
I guess, yeah.
I think it is. It feels weird to me. Like everywhere else you look, you know, you have 2FA and even Signal has like safety numbers and stuff, but the stuff that's used the most with presumably the most kind of, you know, risk and value associated with a breach, not doing anything like it. I find that very strange.
I can see this thing being abused heavily.
100%.
If somebody you think you know sends you a link to something and it's a malicious link and you click on it and it loads something on your computer that shouldn't be there, like this could really be exploited heavily. So the one thing I have to say that is good is that the patches, they're going to be rolled out automatically. I don't know what the update schedule is for it. Like, I'm not sure if it's checking on the hour or daily or whatever, but the fact that this is being rolled out is a good thing. Hopefully it's aggressive in how it's being rolled out.
Yeah, agreed. Interesting all the same to see again Microsoft. Do you want to go right to the next Microsoft story? You want to skip a couple of these other ones first?
You want to do the OpenAI story?
We could do that one, yeah. Or we could do, like, I don't really care, but,
the two backdoors?
The two Windows vulnerabilities, one 0 day there. Yeah, I mean, we may as well stay on Microsoft here a little bit. Again, these are, like, it's so brutal, man. So brutal.
Yeah, so there was some releases of emergency bug fixes that Microsoft released for Windows because it's two very serious problems. There are security issues that were discovered, including one of them being a 0 day. These two are funny because one deals with a very, very old piece of software that's on there. We'll get to that in a second. The 0 days are particularly nasty because what this means is an attacker could potentially exploit this before Microsoft even knows this is there. So before a patch is made, before they're even aware of it, people could be taking advantage of this. So for a short period of time, every Windows machine was vulnerable to this type of attack.
Yeah.
And the flaws were privilege escalation. It meant that a hacker out there could trick you into running a small malicious program. And once it got into your system, then they could give themselves the highest level of privileges possible. And they could start stealing data, take control of your computer, all this stuff. Now, the two vulnerabilities, the first one, it's a very old driver for fax modems. Fax modems, man. So this is apparently, before this was known, was bundled in almost every version of Windows.
It is bundled. Same with, like, when was the last time you went to your Windows drivers and whatnot on, and like the actual list? I mean, you don't even have a Windows computer. I don't know if it's still shipping, but like there was problems before with like the print spooler, fax driver, like all this stuff has been shipping with Windows implementations and no one uses stuff anymore. Like, does anyone print anything at their house? Why do you need a print spooler shipping by default with Windows 10, 11, 7, whatever? Like those times are long gone, man. And doesn't this just tell you that no one's really maintaining these either?
Yeah. For this to have been resident for decades, a fax modem driver.
Crazy.
Like, when was the last time somebody had home telephone, like a landline?
Yeah, telephony. Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
To take advantage of this fax modem. So anyways, the solution by Microsoft was they chopped that head off the snake. They removed the driver permanently from Windows in the security update from October. So that's one of them. The second flaw was the Windows Remote Access Connection Manager. That's the RASMAN, and that handles connections like VPNs and dial-up. Anyway.
Is it possible that people still use this like somewhere in the third world? Like, what is the, help me understand this.
I have no idea what's the market share of dial-up these days. It's got to be very, very slow. Even in third world, come on, you go to a cafe, an internet cafe, and use that, right? Like, I've done that before in the quote-unquote third world, either way. Anyways, you could fix these. Patches are available out there. Again, Microsoft does do, or at least prompt you, that there are patches available for you to install, and it's highly recommended that you do that. Install the latest patches, the security patches, and it's going to close these loopholes, especially that 0 day. That's nasty stuff.
Yeah. I don't really have much to add to this. It's astonishing to me that there's like, what didn't we talk about a few weeks ago? I mean, we talk about Microsoft seems like more and more, but a few weeks ago we talked about how these are retail products And retail can't be expected to do maintenance on driver repositories that ship with the Windows implementation they're using. And yet, this is what they get. And by the way, I think drivers install by default when you update your system on boot for the first time. So it's not like you're getting an old version. It's just not a well-maintained version. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous for a retail product. It's buried so far in the settings, like so deeply down in the settings. You'd never think to look at this because you'd never say to yourself, oh, I can't connect to my 56K modem. I need to update my driver. It doesn't happen, right? You never look at it. And so to not get something that's up to date and secure is like criminal is probably too strong a word, but it's close. I mean, if they had real value loss or something or whatever, you know, you would expect to see a response like that.
Yes. Negligence.
I would negligence. Say. Great. That's, yeah. Better word.
And let's continue like on this train of Microsoft, because OpenAI, the connection between them and Microsoft, well, a group of hackers were able to create a very interesting piece of software called Sesame Op or Sesame OP. Mm-hmm. Which one of the two do you think is more correct?
I'm the wrong guy to ask, because when I was a kid, I used to pronounce it C-same, because same is obviously a word that a lot of kids know before they know sesame, and really it's not correctly spelled. The phonetics leave you wanting there. But anyway, I don't English know. I would call it OP. I'd call it OP.
That's so good. Let's go with Sesame OP. I like that. And so this software, it allows hackers to control a computer remotely, and how it communicated, instead of using the typical manners, the suspicious internet channels, they hid the communication in something that is completely legitimate. That's the OpenAI Assistant APIs. And these APIs are highly secure, a trustworthy way of sending messages, and it's used by developers. And the hackers hacked this, and they were able to turn this into a secret messaging services for their own purposes. And they were able to use the API to send encrypted commands like take this file or run this program on an infected computer, and the computer will send the results back to them through an encrypted channel using the OpenAI service. So everything, if you look at it, if you're trying to do some snooping into your traffic, it looks pretty harmless because it's using normal channels, like a legitimate service like OpenAI's APIs. So it was very difficult to detect this and to spot this as something illegitimate. So Microsoft, they discovered that this is out there, and they figured out how to fix this. And they essentially, there's fixes out there you could apply. And they also suggest, like, aside from running all the updates to everything, is constantly check the logs of your firewalls.
Perfect.
Network logs.
Good. Sounds like a great solution. Constantly check the logs of your network traffic and firewall. Perfect. Just what I want to pay for. That's exactly what I want to hear.
And so you have to do this manually, and you have to be a network administrator.
Perfect. Oh,
and
perfect.
They That's say good. That you should also run stuff like block mode to automatically stop and remove malicious activity. But the problem here is we're dealing with OpenAI calls, and it's difficult to discern anything in there to be not legitimate or not. Like, I understand it will be compressed message sent outside, but you got to be really, really good at networking to figure out that there's something here, that there's something amiss, and you're able to detect it and stop it. It's more issues that are available to take advantage of with these OpenAI or these AI tools. And there's going to be more of this coming forward. We're still at the sun is just creeping over the horizon, and there's so much more to learn and so much more to do, so much more to exploit. Certainly there is, right? Like, this is going to be a field that's going to be exploited so many times in the next little while.
I totally agree. You know what you can't do to find out how to access those logs is ask ChatGPT. So good luck. Good luck out there. You won't be doing that, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, let's talk about the Department of Homeland Security. This is crazy stuff, because they want to collect information, a lot of information, your personal body and biometrics. That's what
this
they
is one of the from. This is one of the crazy stories we've seen in a while, by the way.
It's not like they're just doing this for immigrants. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I'm just trying to say, like, this is going to be applicable even to U.S. citizens and even legal permanent residents who are sponsoring or helping out an applicant. And what they're going to be doing, they're trying to collect this information. And we're talking about eye scans, voice recordings, potentially DNA samples. You're going to have the government have this information. They don't have a very good track record of securing data. And imagine this is biometric data for yourself. And they're going to be security. They're saying that this is going to be ways to stop fraud, verify identities, and prove family relationships. It's opening up a can of worms here for unnecessary mass surveillance, right? So this is what's going to happen. And so there's some pushback coming from all this. Who knows? Maybe a constitutional challenge, because there could be some, I suspect, and because there's constitutional rights that are being, even U.S. citizens are being subjected to this. And you know what, Joey, when we cross the border, they're going to take this information, right? And they're going to start taking this for us.
I was going to say 100% that this is going to happen when we cross the border. When was the last time you went to the U.S.? Or got on a plane? Maybe got on a plane is the better, question. So I traveled 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago to Washington. And Len, you don't have to pull your passport out in the airport anymore.
How do they know everything?
Guess.
Facial scans, and I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But that's something that could.
All you need to show them is your boarding pass QR code on your phone at the gate, and that's it. Like that. No. That's so. When I read this story, I thought, you know, it is bad, but it's. I think the thing is that the water's been boiling for so long that people are just like, well, they already have my biometric data or whatever. But you know, collecting it and DNA and iris scans, like that's a bridge too far. You know, your face and your eyes unlock your phone, your house. You know, that they can be used to identify you in a crowd at a baseball game or whatever. You know, it's like this is getting so dicey now. And it's what's amazing is that this is happening under the, you know, the mega presidency that everyone thought was going to free them from this nonsense. I mean, not us, obviously, but I think a lot of people in the States thought that. You know, you got fooled again. You got fooled again. It's coming harder and faster. And it's just, you know, it's not going to stop. The other thing to point out is that, you know, what's not in here is what happens if you don't give up the data. What happens if you don't volunteer to have it collected? What happens if you don't submit to the regime? What do you think the answer to that is? Is maybe it what's happening in the UK? Same thing, right? Trump and his colleagues talking about, okay, what do you think?
They'll give you an option. You could use your fax modem to send them data.
Secure line.
Yeah.
Trump administration officials, and I think maybe Trump himself, you know, a month and a half ago, were on Twitter blasting Starmer for the digital ID thing. And now here they are 6 weeks later doing something that's arguably worse. Crazy. Yeah, crazy. Like, it's just like, it's everywhere, man. The clamps are coming down. Buy Bitcoin. Don't wait. Act now. You're not going to be able to use your USD stablecoin to buy Bitcoin, I don't think. It's going to be a lot harder than just to use your debit card, I'll tell you that.
I'm surprised Canada hasn't rolled out something like this, but I guess
only a matter of time, man.
It is a matter of time. Maybe they got bigger fish to fry.
I think that falls under investment too, so we can take on some debt for that.
That is true. Yeah, it's certainly improving the country's security. And let's talk about security. Flock Safety, that's a company that they sell these automatic license plate reading cameras to the police all across the U.S. Everybody's aware of this. As they're driving by, they're able, on real time, able to scan and read the license plates of people driving around. And so the company that provides these cameras is Flock Safety. And they have been collecting billions of records, and they've been creating databases. And potentially you could track the movement of people just by doing these scans, right? But it has been determined that they have weak security, that Flock Safety did not even force police officers to use MFA, multi-factor authentication, to log in and start using this stuff. That's a pretty basic way of doing so. Furthermore, it was reported that a number of stolen information was found on the internet for sale. This is found on Russian cybercrime forums and a few other places. And that's the potentially tracking the movements of millions of people. And so we have a couple of lawmakers in the U.S. They were formally asking the FTC to investigate Flock Safety for failing to protect this data, which is highly sensitive. And since it became public, no worries, Flock Safety decided they have taken steps to fix the issue, and they now have enabled MFA as default. And so they're going to make sure that people are going to be safe and the information is secure. That's another, I never really thought about that. The scanning of the license plates and how that information, who is holding it. I can't believe that this is not done in-house by either municipalities or states. This is done.
Wait, why? 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 Why can you not believe that?
I just assumed that would be, this would be something done in-house by either municipalities or states. But you know what? These days, nothing surprises me. This is just another one. It's like, this is messed up, but whatever.
Yeah. The thing I kind of thought about, how much longer is this even going to be a problem? Like, are we not at the point now where cars are basically IoT devices, right? Why do you even need a license plate at this point? Why do you need a camera to collect it? Why do you need any of that stuff? Why not just run by serial numbers and other registration data and just do it all digitally through IoT? It seems to me like that.
Drive by the car, it gets the information.
Something like that, yeah. Remember there was a rumor, I think that I probably propagated this rumor actually as well, that the stickers on license plates were read by police cruisers when you were driving by. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that there's going to be, to your point about like in-house or not, there's only going to be one data repository for this stuff, and it's going to be within the province or the municipality or whatever, the same way that you register your car when you are the owner of it. Like that's what they'll use for tickets and whatnot. And it'll all just be IoT style stuff as opposed to like, you know, cameras recording you. Like they don't need them basically at this point, I don't think.
No, this is a problem that probably will solve itself as we go further in. It's going to be harder for people to buy cars because they're too expensive, and old cars are just going to eventually, they'll just rust away. So people won't have any transportation, personal transportation.
Stay home.
It will just be either Uber or Uber Eats and skip the dishes on the roads. And you know, those 20 cars, you don't have to really track it that much. So this is a problem that will solve itself. Just wait it out.
It never ends, man. None of this stuff is not good. None of this is good. We got problems here.
we paint a very bright future for everybody. Yeah. Things are going to be rosy, yeah.
No doubt. That's it for tonight. We'll see you guys next week. Latest and greatest in data breaching and overreaching. Don't forget to sign up for the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. The YouTube channel, of course. We're putting out more and more content. And obviously the newsletter, accessofeasy.com, for the full gamut of nonsense going on in terms of eroding your privacy. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
Take care.